You and I back together again on Thursday, November 11th, 2021 on Connecticut Today. We took the time throughout the show to, of course, honor all the branches of the military, and we heard from several local veterans as well. Also, we spoke with Connecticut-based gas analyst Mike Fox about the future of still rising gas prices, and Greenwich Republican State Senator Ryan Fazio checked in on the latest at the state capitol, including Governor Ned Lamont's re-election announcement. And we continue on this Thursday edition, November 11th, Veterans Day style of Connecticut Today, right here on WICC 600 AM, 107.3 FM, and online at WICC600.com. Well, I filled up my tank earlier today, and again, it was $43, $44, and I'm wondering, like a lot of you folks are, when is this going to plateau with the gas pump? Is it going to get any higher? This gentleman was quoted in a Hartford Current story yesterday, an in-depth story as to what's going on here with heating oil prices, crude oil prices, gas prices. We welcome a returning guest here to the program from the Gasoline and Automotive Service Dealers of America, Mike Fox. Mike, Paul here at WICC. How are you?
Very good, Paul. Thank you for having me.
Well, Mike, it's always a pleasure, and you're one of the go-to guys on this. So, Mike, from the quotes I read from you and some other experts, Mike, in the field earlier this week in the Hartford Current, you don't sound too optimistic or enthusiastic. What are you seeing here short-term, Mike, and long-term for folks at the gas pumps?
Unfortunately, not optimistic at all, unless the current administration 100% reverses the policies that they have put into effect, which there's where my optimism dies. I don't see much hope for that. We are looking at much higher gasoline prices on the retail side. I'm predicting somewhere between $4 and $5 a gallon and possibly higher.
And why? Give me, now I know you're not thrilled with what the administration's been doing, and I know we've talked about this in the past, Mike. How much of this is present pushback from the big oil companies or the suppliers, and then looking into the future as they try to gauge what they're going to be up against?
Well, pushback with it would mean that they're retaliating against the president, so I will tell you they're zero. The problem is we are back to relying on foreign crude oil from OPEC. OPEC has already said, the president asked, he was denied, and they have cut back. They're not really increasing production. So now I want you to think about this logically. When the president, by executive order, killed the XL Keystone pipeline, that pipeline would have allowed an order of 100,000 barrels of crude oil or larger to be put into the system in Canada at 8 o'clock in the morning and arrive at the refinery in Texas at 8:01. Now that refinery has to order that product from OPEC, put it on a VLCC, very large crude carrier, and it has to be shipped by water all the way to Texas, then offloaded, and then put through the refinery. You don't have to be a genius to figure out the additional cost in doing that. And of course, the oil companies are going to pass the cost on based upon when the order was placed and when they anticipate that order to come in.
So, Mike, it was then that much of an impact for that pipeline then, in your opinion, because we kept hearing through from the other side on this, well, it's only one pipeline. There are thousands of miles of pipeline. We need to make a statement here. The left-leaning politicians did, and environmentalists kept saying, we need to make a statement here. There'll still be plenty of oil and gas. And you're saying that's the polar opposite. There is a big impact here.
I don't want to scare people in a shortage. There is plenty of crude oil available to us. It's just very expensive because of where it's coming from, how it has to be shipped to get us, offloading it from the vessel and then running it through the refinery, rather than plugging in an order into a computer system. Crude oil comes from Canada, goes in the pipeline, comes out the other end of the pipeline, and of course I'm being a little crass here, a minute or two later, and the refinery can produce it. When you have to do this advanced purchasing, and it all has to be paid for when it's loaded on the carrier, so it doesn't, you have to pay for it, you own it. While it's over coming across the water, it's got to be insured, and then while it's being unloaded. So that's where we have a problem. We're not seeing shortages of product. We are just seeing that cheap crude oil that came through the former administration. And again, I'm not pro-Republican or pro-Democrat. I call out the rights and the wrongs on both sides.
Mike, hang on. We'll be right back with you. We're talking to gas and oil expert Mike Fox from Gazda. More with Mike coming up right here after Traffic and Weather Together on WICC. And we continue right here on Connecticut Today on this Thursday. Mike Fox from Gazda is the guest. We chat with Mike and other experts often about what's going on with the pump and with heating oil and all that. Now, Mike, I am stunned. I don't know how you feel about this. I can guess. I'm stunned that in the middle of all this, and as you point out, with a lot of supply but fewer ways to get it to us and driving up prices, in the middle of all this, I'm reading stories about the administration actually looking to shut off yet another pipeline that a lot of folks and politicians in the Midwest, in the upper Midwest, I think it is, Mike, are saying, basically saying you got to be nuts to even consider this right now.
100%. And that pipeline's been in existence. It has a fantastic environmental track record, meaning there haven't been many issues. And it's to replace that pipeline. It's not to build a new one. Look, this administration in Washington has a plan. No American consumer is going to spend $75,000, $80,000, $90,000 for an electric vehicle unless gas costs $7, $8, $9, $10, $11 a gallon. They have to force the consumer into these electric vehicles, and you're being fooled because electric vehicles are not zero emissions. In fact, there has just been a recent study out that says you have to drive an electric vehicle 78,000 miles before you start seeing a difference between an electric vehicle and a combustion engine vehicle. Now, remember, that's just the difference on emissions. You're going to spend $70,000 or $80,000 for this electric car rather than $30,000 for the combustion one. So it has nothing to do with the cost. And that's why that huge bill coming out of Washington that they're still fighting on has $16,000 incentives to buy an electric car. Well, let's round that off to 20, 80,000 gets you to 60. It's still not 30 or 40,000. Sure, everybody in the upper incomes can afford those cars and they'll love them. The simple fact is we are being fooled and lied to by the current administration about climate change, about how to fix the problem and what it takes. We looked here in Connecticut. We had the Transportation Climate Initiative, TCI. Well, not only do we not need TCI anymore, because the bill that they passed provides Connecticut with almost $13 billion with a B for electric cars, infrastructure. So why don't we lower the gas tax in Connecticut? And the rational reason behind that is because you can't lower the gas tax enough to really get away from these $4 and $5 prices.
Mike, there's also been rumbling earlier in the week. Now, all of a sudden, a lot of the politicos on the administration side are saying, well, this is bad. We need to vent or, let loose with some of the strategic petroleum reserve that's around the country in various spots, mainly a 30-day standby based on average use in case there were military situations from our suppliers in the Middle East. It's been done before, Mike, a few times, basically because of military actions and unrest. But what do you think about that? Just releasing some of that petroleum supply to ease prices. Good idea or not?
I tell you, that's my biggest disappointment. And my biggest disappointment comes from Senator Blumenthal signing on to that letter, because he knows very well we worked together for 10 plus years. He understands the oil industry better than most. The Strategic Petroleum Reserve, depending upon how much product you release per day, has somewhere between 36 days and 165 days of product. If this was a temporary issue, if this was a shortage issue, the SPR might be a good thing. This is not a shortage issue. We have all the crude oil we need. It's just coming from foreign countries, and the cost to get it to America is astronomical. Wages are going up. Now, remember something. That vessel carrying the crude oil burns diesel fuel, and now diesel fuel is $5 a gallon. So the cost of shipping that crude oil a year ago was way cheaper than it was now. Just a container coming from China. Yeah. Used to be $3,000 to bring a container from China with all your goods that we're all buying. Now that's $16,000 to $20,000. Can you imagine what that vessel carrying crude oil costs now to come from Dubai or the Middle East to Texas to the refineries? And therein lies the problem, that energy costs drive the price of everything that not only we need, but that we want up. And that's why the prior administration proved when they did what they did, that we can not only be energy independent, but we can have cheap prices and still grow our economy. And that's the problem. We do not learn from the mistakes of the past.
The website is GASDA, GASDA.org, the Gasoline and Automotive Service Dealers of America. Always good to chat with Mike Fox. Mike, thank you. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk down the road. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, let's get to some doings in Hartford, some anticipated doings, some maybe doings. Republican State Senator Ryan Fazio, Greenwich and the surrounding communities in Fairfield County, back with us again on WICC. Hey, Ryan, it's Paul here again. How are you?
I'm great, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Well, great to have you again, Ryan. First, let me ask you, Governor Ned Lamont, I don't think it's a big surprise, Ryan, but the governor declares for his reelection. The papers filed on Monday. He declared kind of off the cuff Tuesday at a teacher recruitment event in New Britain. What are your thoughts on the governor's reelection bid?
Well, my concern is about substantive issues. That's why I ran for office this summer and last year, and I think that's what voters are concerned about most of all, not necessarily individuals or personalities, and they'll make judgments based on the substantive issues and people's records and the path of the state, and whether large increases in cost of living is acceptable is something they'll make judgments on, whether the second highest taxes in the country is acceptable, whether a large rise in crime is acceptable, whether the sixth highest unemployment rate in the country and the fourth lowest rate of economic growth in the country since the beginning of the pandemic is acceptable. So I think what matters here is the substantive issues, and that's what people are going to make judgments upon in 2022.
And talking a little more about that, now we have this energy issue, Ryan, in the state, and no matter, I'm sure, where you get gas, where I got gas this morning, and I barely have a mid-sized car, I have a large compact, and it cost me $42. Is there anything, Ryan, that you folks on either side of the aisle in the General Assembly can do on this, or, are your hands tied on this because of everything involved here, or not?
Well, we could certainly not do things that'll make it worse. The Democratic leadership still supports a new gas tax, the Transportation Climate Initiative, imposing that on Connecticut motorists. This was an issue this summer when I ran in my special election. It divided me and my opponent, and I came down squarely against a new tax because I think we're taxed enough already and it's already too expensive to live here. So I think for starters, we must say no new taxes. No new taxes on transportation and energy consumption, which is regressive and it afflicts the middle class and the working class more than anyone else. So that is an easy answer, but it's an answer that, unfortunately, the Democratic leadership in our state can't even answer correctly because they still stand in favor of this new tax. And God knows we don't need any more of that.
All right, Ryan, hang on. I'm going to come back with you momentarily. When we come back, I want to ask Ryan, speaking of taxes, that was the next thing on my list here. It's amazing how good minds think alike. The notion of maybe some tax relief floated by an influential member on the Democratic side of the aisle and maybe the governor. More with Ryan Fazio coming up first. Not taxes and weather, Paul. Traffic and weather together. No taxes. Traffic and weather together right here on WICC. And we continue at 4:41:19 before 5. We'll get back to open phones later in the half hour, and we'll wrap it up that way on this Veterans Day Thursday, November 11th, 2021, right here on Connecticut Today. First, a few more minutes with Republican Ryan Fazio, state senator from Greenwich. And Ryan, you've probably seen the same stories I have the last couple of days. Some folks, the governor on down to folks like Sean Scanlon, prominent Democrat in the House, talking about, well, you know, the coffers are really good. We've got good sales tax revenues. We've got all this COVID money coming in. So why don't we provide some tax relief? Now, they're a little nebulous, Ryan, obviously, about tax relief. What was your reaction when you read all this?
It's like the old saying, Lord, make me chase, but not yet. Lord, make me cut taxes, but not yet. Because they still favor the new gas tax, and just this summer they passed a new highway mileage tax as well, and the year before they passed a new 0.5% payroll tax on middle class workers, and the year before, $1 billion of new taxes on every Connecticut resident. So there has been a panoply of major tax increases on middle class Connecticut residents over the past few years. I welcome any born again tax cutter. God knows we need them in this state. So if this is a genuine conversion, I'm very excited about it. I hope our Democratic friends see the light now. I, for one, have been a strong proponent of broad-based income tax rate reductions. Mm-hmm. I think that is the best way to give relief to middle-class families and also create economic growth and greater fairness in the tax code. That's the best way forward. That's the best way to create jobs and reduce cost of living, increase real wages, and create growth for everybody. So I'm happy to work with anyone in either party to reduce taxes and create growth. And hopefully I can help do that on the Finance Committee this coming year. But we'll see.
Here's the thing, Ryan, and I wonder, you know, the governor is kind of, you know, puffing out his chest, as many folks are in Hartford, saying, well, look at this. It was a fiscal cliff a couple of years ago. Now look at this. Well, yeah, I mean, tax revenues are up. But as a lot of the Capitol Press Corps, Ryan, pointed out to the governor the other day when he made kind of his reelection announcement official, you know, they said, listen, we're going to get helped out here a lot over the next coming years by this COVID money. What happens, Ryan, when the COVID money is spent and it runs out? And even the governor admitted we're okay for 2 years. We're okay for the next budget cycle.
Well, once the COVID money runs out, then we're back to status quo ante, which is a structural deficit in Connecticut, which is exactly why it was unacceptable in the past few years that the state government, the state leadership decided to raise spending. They did that in 2019 when they also raised taxes, and they did it this past year when they kept taxes about the same. But they did so only because we got $1.5 billion of federal aid that was able to close the deficit itself. The last budget raised spending by 3%. In the first year, and I think 4% in the second year. So these continue to be fiscally irresponsible policies that are being papered over by temporary aid from the federal government that is going to disappear eventually. And God knows that federal aid itself has consequences in the pocketbooks of American families, because we're seeing this major inflation, the highest in my lifetime, that's reducing people's real wages and purchasing power. So there's no free lunch here. We have to make budgetary discipline the way of governing in Connecticut. And we also need tax reform and income tax cuts for the middle class, too.
And Ryan, finally, there are people who say, because I've posed this question to people on the Democratic side, they say, well, it's almost economically not possible not to raise spending at least by a few points every year because stuff costs more. We have inherent costs in these programs that have to go up. What's your response to that?
It's not true. It's absolutely not true. In the end of the day, we live in a democracy here. The people decide through their elected representatives, and those people have the ability to make hard choices on spending in a responsible manner. They can't just continue blaming the decisions of the past for their mistakes of the day. If that was the truth, then eventually we would see a stop to the spending and tax increases, but it just continues to be an excuse and perpetuates a negative cycle of further tax increases. Remember, the governor in his first race ran on a debt diet promise. But in 2020, the state legislature and the governor signed into law a new bonding bill that increased debt finance spending by hundreds of millions of dollars. So they continue to actively make discretionary decisions to raise spending, and then they can't just blame people of the past for the tax increases at the same time, because they bear responsibility as well.
All right. Ryan Fazio, Republican State Senator from Greenwich. Ryan, thank you. We appreciate it. If we don't talk between now and then, have a good holiday, and we'll catch up. Thank you.
Thanks for your time, Paul.
I appreciate it. All right.